Hi everyone, I'm Ronki Magic Odumi and you're listening to Product Magic, a podcast dedicated to telling the stories of how product makers create product magic. For any organization, building successful customer-oriented products is the main objective and goal. However, great organizations and their leaders build more than products. They build up the people around them with empathy, gratitude, and motivation. Therefore, it is important that product managers embody the values of their organization. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the importance of collaborating with engineering with Andrea. We'll discuss her experience partnering and recruiting product managers. Andrea, welcome to Product Magic Podcast. Can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Thank you, Ronki. Yes, I'm very happy to be here and to know that you are sharing all your wisdom with so many people. My name is Andrea Perez. I have been in the tech industry for 20 years, mostly as an engineer, architect, and engineering manager. I have had the pleasure to collaborate in many projects with product managers, just like you. And we have built several experiences that I hope our customers have enjoyed. For the most part of my career, I have been in the fintech space. I have been in several companies here in the Bay Area, but also I have experience in international markets. I have a part of my professional experience was in Colombia, my native country. I also had experience in Europe. I also live in Singapore, and now here I am in US. Again, very happy to be here.
Thank you, Andrea. So, Andrea, can you talk a little bit about your first role? How did you get started in engineering?
Yes, well, when I was in high school, I was really good in math. And then I was also very excited about arts and I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be in theater. But, well, life just happened and then I ended in engineering school. I think that I did the right choice as soon as I started because I really enjoy programming and coding and all these things that were so exciting and new for me. My first role was founding my own company. I started very early because I had to pay for my education in Colombia. And I'm talking about 2004. With a group of friends, we decided that we wanted to create our own staff, and we started building products that some of them were kind of needed in the market and some of them were just things that came to our imagination that we say, oh, we want to build this. We built a product to manage a farm in Colombia. It was super exciting, and we also had created this app to allow kids to have their own pets, virtual pets. And in 2004, that was quite advanced, like super cool. Obviously, in Colombia at that time, it was super challenging to build a company, especially in technology. Most people didn't know what we were talking about. Then we ended by closing and not continuing with the project after a few years. But that experience was amazing because we had to deal with plenty of problems that if I was started in a company, probably I wouldn't have that experience. Then I have to deal with creating all the technical structure for the company. We have to deal with product related problems. Is this product going to be profitable? How we're going to marketize this product and all these kind of things. Then it was an amazing experience. I don't regret a single minute doing that. I maybe regret not putting more effort to make it successful, but then it was a great starting for me in my career.
Oh, that is so cool. Can you talk about how did you learn what to do?
Well, one thing was learning from more experienced people, listening to that people. Like we used to have in that startup, some of the people that were with us were people with a lot of experience in the industry. Then they give us a lot of advices and we were listening and trying to to do what they say. But at the same time, we were also experimenting, right? And I think experimentation is really important, and don't being afraid of failure. We made many, many, many mistakes, and I have done, and I continue to make many mistakes in my career. But the most important is to learn from them and continue moving forward, right? Then I will say those two things, learning from people who are already in the industry, who have been there for a while, and then also don't be afraid of trying new things and failing if that is the case.
And that is such a great advice. If I might ask you, what did you wish you had known when you first started in engineering?
Yeah, well, one thing that when I was very young, I was very focused on technology. For me, technology was everything. I was that kind of person who was in front of my computer every day. I didn't listen to anyone. You don't talk to me about business. You don't talk to me about finance. You don't talk to me about customer. I just want to work on my own code. And that was a huge mistake because I was missing the most important part. We are building something. We are using technology to solve a customer problem. And that was something that I think I realized a little bit later, even in my own startup, I was very focused on the technical side. And I miss like the north on like, let's focus on solving a customer problem, right? And later on in my career, it was the same. Like I was constantly focusing too much on the technical side. And only when I really open up and then focus on customer problems, what is the customer thinking? What are we trying to solve? Is when I was actually able to use all the technical knowledge that I have built over the years to really move my teams and inspire other people and get inspired about what I was building and actually do something that was impactful.
That is awesome. Oh, Andrea, for those listening, I kind of wanted them to know a little bit about our history. So when I first started working at PayPal, you were the first engineering manager I worked with. In fact, you interviewed me when I came to PayPal for my interview. And I wanted to say thank you because not only did the interview go well and you made me feel really good and I wasn't nervous during the interview, I felt like we had a real conversation. But when I officially started, you also took me under your wing and you made sure that I was successful. And I was able to do that because I had the three in a box, my tech lead, myself, and my engineer. Can you talk a little bit about, especially for aspiring product managers and recent college grads, the importance of the three in a box? And let's just talk about that first, and then we'll talk about the language. I feel like engineering teams have languages. So let's talk about the importance of the three in a box. And why would you recommend it or not recommend it?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I'm super proud of that decision of hiring you. I think you were such a great gift for the team. And I told from all the people that you have worked with in my teams, we really enjoy working with you. Then that was amazing. Great decision. about talking and the language that we used to talk to with engineers and product, right? I think we overthink too much sometimes that aspect. I really encourage my engineers to really have more, be more focused on the customer perspective versus focusing too much on the technology. Obviously, is the role to be focused on technology. Obviously, is the role to come up with all those constraints that sometimes our architectural solutions have, right? But when I think it's both ways, right? And the most important part is that both product and engineering should be talking on the language of the customer. I think when we start talking too much about technology on the engineering side or business on the product side, sometimes we lose focus on the customer. And I think if you ask me about what is that language that we need to talk, the language of our customers.
Gotcha. No, thank you for saying that. I especially wanted to hear you say that because I think it's super important. I tell every single person I meet when they ask me for advice, especially starting out in product management, I always tell them number one thing, bring your box with you. Bring your engineering lead with you to talk when you go to talk to a customer. Bring your design lead with you when you go talk to a customer, because they should also hear the same thing. You shouldn't be relaying what the customer said to them. And also when you present together, you should tell the story together. Can you talk about why that is so important?
Well, you already said some of that, but first, there is no, all the roles and all the perspectives are equally important, right? A great product is not only great because there is a great technical solution, right? It's a great product because it's solving a customer need. It's because we have the right strategy to put the marketing together. It's because we have all the perspectives from the different markets, right? PMMs, product marketing managers, product managers, engineers need to come together, designers, right? Then all the perspectives are equally important. And then when we are talking to other people, all of us, we need to understand what is the feedback? What are we hearing from customers? What are we hearing from leadership? Then being in the same room at the same level and treating us as equals, instead of like, I am the one making the decisions and because I am an engineering manager, or you because you are a product manager, it doesn't help anyone. Because as I said, all those perspectives combined is what really make the product great and not only a single one. Then I think when you have all the people in the room, you achieve two things. One is collaboration, right? Everyone is informed, everyone knows where to go, and everyone receives the feedback, etc. And on the other side, it also helps with accountability, because it's not only your problem or the person in the room who is presenting, representing everyone else's problem. It's the problem of the team. It's like, if we receive feedback and we need to improve as a team. And I think those two aspects are super critical to really be successful.
Thank you so much for that. Can you talk about what advice would you give to product managers on the best ways to collaborate with engineers, other than obviously the box? What other approaches would you recommend?
Well, I think you really need to involve engineers early on, right? And have a good relationship with them that goes beyond the work that you have at hand, right? I think it's very valuable to have informal conversations, because from those informal conversations, when you are not stressed about work, when you are not even thinking about the product, is when the best ideas come. When you are relaxed and you are maybe sharing a coffee with an engineer, and then he say, oh my God, maybe we can use this technology, and then is when that magic happens. Then being very close and having fun together, having meaningful conversations about the product, involving them early on in customer discussions, also give them direct feedback, obviously in a very constructive and respectful way. Understanding the other person's perspective is super important as well.
No, that's great. So obviously, you know my style when I was working with you. I used to have lunch every Wednesday with my Scrum team. And I loved it because I got to know them on a personal level. With my tech lead and my design lead, we would go off campus and go have our own lunch on Thursdays. And it helped me to get to know them on a personal level as well and build trust, right? I love that relationship with them. How do you recommend, because I always tell product managers that they are not just building products, they're also building people, and they're building the people around them. What is your advice that you would recommend to product managers on how to build that? That was my way of building that, is by having lunch and so forth. But how would you recommend that they build that that, you know, I'm not talking about the work aspect of it, but really building the people around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you used to do a great job, and that is why so many people loved working with you, right? But one is obviously building trust. And you don't build trust all of a sudden you don't arrive and say, hey, trust me, right? It's something that you need to build little by little. And trust is built as part of that is built through the personal relationship, right? You need to establish credibility. You need to establish a good personal relationship because they need to know you as a person. The second is establishing your credibility. You bring a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge and a lot of customer perspective to the table. Then you need to make sure that people around you can see that, right? And once they can see that, they will have, you will have more credibility in front of them. And the third thing is also is a two-way conversation, right? Don't expect to be the only one talking and then they will listen to you. You also need to give a space for them to share what they have and understand them. I think when you, well, I'm an engineering manager. For me, obviously, I try to develop a lot of my leadership skills, and it has to do a lot with building trust, making sure that my team can see more like a partner in me more than a manager. I don't like that authoritarian type of management. I like to be more like a leader for them, that they can count on me and I can count on them. That requires time. It's not something that happens and every action goes like adds or subtract of the amount of trust that you can build. Then every single action counts, right? Providing clear feedback, being very mindful about their needs, listening to their opinions, and being as transparent and open as you can be. I think that only, not only for engineers, but for every relationship that you build is super critical.
So I wanted to add, so can I'm going off of that. So I always get feedback from my own colleagues, other PMs, like, why aren't you leading the whole entire meeting, Ronki? Like, why? And I always tell them, because it's not my story alone to tell. When we tell the customer's story, it should be me, the box, my design lead and my tech lead telling the story to our leadership. It has served me well. And also what I love about it is my team, my box does not feel like Ronki's the PM. She's the only one making the decision. It's a partnership. We own the decisions together. So that when leadership is saying to us, okay, why are you recommending this? We, the three of us, are saying, this is why we recommend this. I learned that from you. And it has served me well. Not only was I, every product I've built has gone out, has been released, it's out in the wild. I haven't failed. But for aspiring product managers and recent college grads, can you kind of talk through that a little bit about how the partnership is so important, and you don't necessarily have to be the only one telling that story. You're going to get credit for it. Mm-hmm. You're going to advance in your career, but you can bring people with you.
Yes. This is something that is very close to my heart, because many times every time that I go to a team and I try to build a team, I want my team of engineers to be a team that is passionate about what they do, that is inspired about what they are doing. And the only way to accomplish that is for them to feel empowered, to feel recognized by their efforts, and to feel that they have a mission and they are part of something bigger. I have had a sad experience sometimes that in some companies, the PM becomes the person who makes the decision and is the person who is like the voice for the team. Then leadership will go to the PM, and then PM will represent the team in front of leadership and in front of everyone. And that has many downsides, because the team is always left behind, is they are not in part of the conversation, and is very harmful for everyone. Then I think you and me and everyone who is working in a team, we need to build a team of missionaries. And this is something that you will hear in many places, that you really want people who are excited, who want to give a little bit more for the work they are doing, who are motivated, who are not waiting for somebody to tell them what to do, but they are coming with ideas and pushing you, saying this can be better. You cannot accomplish that if you are the one taking the credit. When you leave your team down, they are going to leave you down as well. Then when people treat engineers as mercenaries, like, oh, I go and have all these beautiful ideas, come to you and drop this document, and then tell me a date when you are going to finish, is completely wrong. First, you don't involve engineers early on. You won't have creativity. You don't have innovation in the product, because engineers are really the ones who are looking into what is the latest and greatest technology to apply to you, to the problems that we are trying to solve. Then you miss that innovation piece, you miss that contribution early on, and then usually when you come with the document figured out, you're missing all the perspectives and all the input from all these people who, engineers are very smart, right? With a lot of intelligence, right? And it's just bad. Then I feel like it's important because collaborating with engineers will help you to have to be more to have more diverse ideas, to build more innovative products, and to really have fun at the end of the day. You will enjoy your work a lot more when you have a good team that is supporting you, that is pushing you, that is going to hold your back when you are falling apart, right? Is that what you want from your team? And if you are not a team player, it's not going to work for anyone.
So, Andrea, I gave some advice yesterday to a recent college grad, and I told that person that I think it's important for product managers to be uncomfortable. I think it is important because it helps you to grow. And I explained that it's important that when they are being grilled, and I use the word grilled, by their tech lead or by their design lead, it's coming from a good place and they shouldn't be defensive about it. And the person asked me what I meant by that. And I told him, I said, listen, when your tech lead comes to you and says, why are we building this? You should be able to give them the customer data behind it, the reason, how it ties to the overall mission and vision of the organization, how where it fits into the product strategy and the roadmap. And even if they don't 100% agree with you on building that functionality, they should understand the how, the what, and the why. But not to be defensive. And the same thing with your engineering lead when they're asking, the same thing with your design lead when they're asking you those questions. It's not because they're just trying to see if you know what you're doing. It's because they really want to know that they are building the right tools. Can you talk through that? Because in my experience at first, when I first started working with you, I remember not you in particular, but I remember, not you in particular, but I do remember that I would constantly get those questions. And I remember that I had to check my ego at the door and say, okay, this is not about me. This is about the product. Can you talk through a little bit about that, especially for aspiring PMs and how it's important that they're able to set their ego aside and to be able to answer those questions and how it makes everybody, not just the product, but the people they're working with, better?
Yeah, I think product management role is a very difficult role because there is you are in the intersection of so many different disciplines, right? Of marketing, finance, legal, management, engineers, etc. And you really need to be able to handle those conversations, and sometimes people are very critical, and they are right. They want to be build the right thing, and they want to they will come with questions, and they are going to question everything. There are two things. One is you don't need to own all the decisions, right? If you have done properly your work and you have involved everyone and all those things, they should feel accountable by the decisions that they have, that as a group you have made, right? And the second is when some people come to you with questions and even criticism to your product, I think it's really important for everyone to create a thick skin. And as you say, check your ego and this, and say this is, don't take it personal. It's about the product. It's not about me. And in the same way, try to separate those things, right? It is about the product. Then let's talk about the product. If you are a good PM, you know in and out your product. You know why you are doing what you are doing. You know you have your data ready. You have your reasoning ready. Then it's just going to be a routine exercise for you because you are ready. Obviously, if you haven't done your homework, and maybe you just made things up and then you are trying to convince people of something that you don't even believe in, it's going to be challenging. Then if you do your homework, just be confident and present the facts. Also be open to discussion because maybe they have a point and there is some aspect that you need to reconsider. But trust in the work that you have done previously.
Right? Thank you. So I get this question a lot also from aspiring PMs. For non-technical product managers, what is your advice to them on how to work with their Scrum team and tech leads?
Well, I really think the value of a product manager is on bringing the customer perspective, right? Sometimes I think it's a plus for, and it's a big plus for a manager to understand and be able to communicate on technical aspects. But if you are a strong PM and you really understand the customer and you are bringing that perspective, that is the most important piece that you can bring. Then be confident about that, that if you are doing that, is what we need from you. I think it's super important that any product manager also knows the basics about technology. And when I say the basics, it sounds easy, but it's challenging because the basics in technology, what I'm talking about, right? What are the basics, right? But I think basic things about the system that you are operating in, how it works, right? What are the, I think one of the main aspects that you need to understand is all the nature of the processes, right? There are processes that are synchronous, understanding what is the difference and how the technology may impact the customer experience. Then, for example, if you are building a mobile app, it's different from a web app. There are some constraints that you need to understand. Mm-hmm. And there are some techniques to make your performance better, for example. You need to understand those constraints and work around. I think one of the most beautiful experiences that I have seen as a manager is when I am able to achieve that my team work together with all the stakeholders. And I remember this experience with one of your colleagues at PayPal, that she was working with my team and they were trying to improve the latency of a website that we were building. Technically, it was very difficult because of the amount of data. We had a lot of constraints. But they were with the designer and the product manager exploring ideas, and they came up with a very creative idea of not improving the actual latency, but improving the perceived latency. Then making it look like it was loading faster. And I think that is the kind of thing that you achieve when you are able to understand the basics. You don't need to go and become an expert on any programming language. You don't need to code to be a PM. But you really need to understand the basics of, for example, how internet connection works, right? What is the nature of the communication? How, like, basic things like that will help you and take you a long way to communicate, because the most important thing that you need to do is to be able to communicate effectively with your stakeholders, including the engineers, and to be able to understand their perspective. Then I think the basics will change from place to place, because it's not the same building, I don't know, an API than building a web app or a mobile app or something else. But I think working also closely with your tech lead. I sometimes have spent time sitting down with my tech lead and explaining them basic concepts, because if I think that will help us in the long run, why not, right? I will teach them, I don't know, what is an API, how an API works, and whatever it is. And I think most engineers will be happy to do that with you. Then don't be afraid to also ask them, like, what do I need to learn from you so we can be more effective in our communication?
Thank you for that. So I have to ask you, because I know that you also help with the interview process for product managers, just like you did with me. What skill sets do you look for in successful PMs?
Well, there are many, many things, but I think the most important one is having good communication, collaboration, because you need to collaborate with multiple stakeholders and you really need to understand multiple perspectives and the business acumen that you have in your field, right? You, for example, you were working in a fintech industry, in fintech, the business knowledge that you accumulate is super important because it's a very complex industry. Then making sure that you have like a part of all those soft skills that are so critical for, by the way, not only for PMs nowadays, but for everyone. And the business skills, making sure that that the PM understand what are we talking about, how a payment works, right? I think the business, the knowledge that you have of your industry is very important.
Okay, thank you, Andrea. So, Andrea, like every one of us, you've been home from the pandemic and working from home. What keeps you going this season? What keeps you motivated?
Well, my most important motivator is people. I'm an engineering manager. I manage big, small teams, and I always have to spend time with them, motivating them, understanding their problems, and blocking them. That is my biggest motivation when I can make the difference for somebody, especially during this time. People are struggling with time, and sometimes I forget that I'm an engineer first and then manager after. But I really am very driven with when people are being successful, and I'm blocking them from many problems that they may have. Then the pandemic has been very hard for many people, and knowing that I can be there for them is really motivating for me. It makes my day when I am able to make the difference.
Do you find that since the pandemic has happened, that we've had to flip? I call it the flip, which is worry about the well-being of our colleagues and our direct reports first, then everything else later, because they have so much going on with them.
Well, I think you know me as a leader. I always care about my team first, and this is not before or after the pandemic, but I think with the pandemic, the well-being has a lot more attention. You can see companies that they are giving wellness days, that they are that are talking about strategies to improve the wellness, strategies to cope with the stress and anxiety. I didn't see that before. And it's not like stress and anxiety and all that didn't exist, but I think it was very clear for all of us that the pandemic put us in a lot of stressful moments, and the lack of that person-to-person interaction was also hard for everyone. And I am glad that we are putting a lot of more attention, and I really hope that this is going to continue, because before anything, before engineers, before product managers, before whatever, we are people. We are persons with a life and dreams and problems and happiness and all those feelings that we have every day.
I tell everyone around me that I check in with my team often throughout the day. That's one thing I do differently. I just check in just to say hi. I find that empathy, just checking in, moving a meeting around. Don't schedule a meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, move it to 9 a.m. Don't schedule a meeting after 4 o'clock. Those things seem so small, but yet they make such a huge difference. Because especially for someone who's a mom, they don't have to feel pressured like, oh my God, I'm missing a 4 o'clock meeting. I'm not a great employee. You know, they shouldn't have to pick between that and go to pick up their children from school. I just find that simple things like that help. And that's what I've been preaching and doing on my end to just sort of eliminate some of that burden.
Yeah, I think that was one of the reasons why I love so much working with you, and my team did the same because you were constantly, you were really not only checking but really concerned about the people that you were working with, and people feel it, and you create a very good environment. People, it is the only thing that builds a team. I remember, well, just a small story. When I was working with you and the team, I broke my leg, and I don't know if you remember, but I was almost 1 year with a cast, and it was my right leg, and I wasn't able to drive, and I was going with the scooter everywhere, and it was amazing to see how the team was so caring about me. They obviously joke a lot about my leg, and we had all the fun around that, but they will drive me home sometimes. If we were having a team activity, they were constantly asking me, like, should I drive you, right? They were super mindful, and I think it's when you have a good team and you have people who are really caring about each other, this is the result, right, that you get. And it was beautiful. At the end, obviously it was a hard time for me to go around without with a cast and all that, but I have very good memories of all the small actions that the team around me took to make my life a little bit easier.
I will tell you right now, we missed the potluck. Remember the potluck? We missed the potluck. It was like, I think one every quarter, we would all bring stuff in. And that we miss. Till today, when I talk to some of my colleagues, who are not, by the way, even like on my team anymore, they will say to me, I miss Donut Wednesdays, Ronki. When we go back to work, you need to bring in donuts on Wednesdays. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'll be there with 2 dozen if once we come back to work. Isn't it funny how little things like that make such a huge difference and people remember it?
I have had the opportunity to go back to office recently. The first time that I had a team meeting after the pandemic, I came back home so happy, and I was feeling so great. I was feeling like I was missing so much, so much. I really loved my team and be around people and playing and discussing and whiteboarding and all the things that brings, and eating donuts and having potlucks with people from different countries and eating foods from all over the place, right? That all those things are amazing, and I really miss that.
I know, I miss it too. I can't wait for us to go back to work. So, Andrea, I cannot thank you enough for joining our podcast today. So, I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite word?
Serendipity.
Oh, I like that. Your least favorite word?
Frustration.
What sound of noise do you love?
The noise of the sea.
What sound of noise do you hate?
An alarm clock.
Oh, I don't like an alarm clock either. So, what profession other than your own would you attempt?
I will be a great teacher.
Oh, that's what I think you would be. What profession would you not want to attempt?
I don't think I will be a good doctor.
Oh, I definitely would not be. My handwriting sucks too. What is your junk food confidence? What is your go-to junk food?
Doritos.
Ooh, mine is chocolate cake, but Doritos. Okay. And where can our listeners find you online?
Well, you can find me in LinkedIn. Andrea Perez is my name, and well, you will be able to find me through Ronki as well.
All right. Thank you so much for joining our webinar today. I mean, our podcast today. We had a lot of fun.